You're listening to the Refined Hippie Podcast. I am your host, Rebecca Henson, and welcome, friends. How is everybody's summer going? I feel like it's flown by, and it's basically over to me. In my mind, whenever it's almost August, I feel like summer's over, even though it's technically not. But the reason for that is that my birthday is the beginning of August, and obviously in school, when it was my birthday, that meant that it was almost time to go back to school, which meant the summer was over. So in my mind, I still feel like summer is over. But yeah, last week we had a full moon and eclipse, and I slept terrible that night. I always sleep terrible when there's a full moon. Do any of y'all do that? I don't know. It's super annoying. Sometimes I don't even realize there's a full moon. And then the next day, I'm like, gosh, I could not fall asleep. I was super restless. And then I find out that it was a full moon. And I was like, oh, well, that explains it. But apparently the full moon, you know, disrupts the deepest phase of REM, which is why we feel restless. But sometimes apparently you have like lots of energy at the same time. It's a bizarre thing. But yeah, it's been a crazy summer. I've been really busy. I feel like the planet is falling apart. The temperature around the globe has been insanely hot. Last month was the hottest month in Earth's history, as far as they know, with temperatures 20 degrees Fahrenheit above average. Average temperatures in France and Germany and northern Spain, it says, were up 18 degrees above normal. And in France, the temperature exceeded 114 degrees Fahrenheit. Holy crap, y'all. Oh my gosh, this place is a total mess. And I think if people aren't waking up and accepting that this is not good, and also that, you know, to think that humans have not had some type of impact on this planet negatively, I think is extremely naive and also maybe arrogant, in that we're not taking responsibility for what we've done. And it's a total mess, you know, and it's all out of balance. And this is kind of what's happening to our bodies as well. You know, we are not living in alignment with the way we should be eating, the way we should, you know, be socializing, living, all of these things. And which gets me to my guests, you know, a lot of times our hormones get out of balance, which is what we're talking about today. My guest today is Shannon Leparski. Shannon is a certified hormone specialist, blogger, and face and name behind The Glowing Fridge, a website, YouTube channel, and Instagram devoted to hormone health. She's also recently become a published author of the book The Happy Hormone Guide, which comes out in September. Shannon has her own healing success story after dealing with just terrible cystic acne that can ruin anybody's life. Shannon went on a quest to heal her hormones naturally. So we chat about the different phases of the female cycle, ways to balance our hormones and our cycles, and foods that best nourish each phase of our cycle. We get into the best tools to test your hormones. We also chat about parasites. Yes, I said parasites. And coffee enemas. So we get into some really, really fun stuff. So without further ado, here is my interview with Shannon from The Glowing Fridge. Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Rebecca.
Thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
This is really exciting. I have been following you for a couple months now, and whenever I, you know, started this podcast, I was like, oh my gosh, she would be such a good guest. So I'm super stoked.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah. So you're in Chicago, yeah?
Yes.
Are you from Chicago?
Yeah, well, I grew up in the suburbs and I lived in the city like after college, and then I ventured back out to the burbs. So that's where I'm at now.
Cool. Yeah. The burbs. I love Chicago. I haven't been there in like 10 years. The last time I was there, I went for a Spice Girls concert.
Oh my gosh.
In 2008.
So fun.
Oh my God. It was the best thing ever. But that was in February, which I had not been to Chicago any time other than like the summer. So that was pretty intense. It's quite cold up there.
It is. The summer is the best time to be here. Yeah. But, you know, are you in Charlotte, right?
Charleston.
Oh, Charleston, yeah.
I know. So it's got all the good. C's. CH, it's all good. Yeah, it's hot as Hades down here. Have you ever been to Charleston?
No, but I'm dying to go.
Yeah, it's really nice. I came to college here and then just stuck around like a lot of people do. But yeah, the heat index over 4th of July, the heat index was like 113.
Oh my gosh.
Which is, you know, pretty painful. But yeah. So anyways, so I guess we'll just get right into it. I'm always curious how people, like people's stories, I guess, like their background story of like how they became plant-based. So kind of how did you get to this place?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess I've always leaned towards healthier eating. Even in high school, it was like an interest of mine. And then in college, I studied health and fitness and I took a bunch of nutrition classes. But it wasn't until I saw a documentary on Netflix when I was 25 years old, and it was called Veggiecated. And it totally changed my life. I went vegan overnight and wow. I never looked back. I was just appalled at what the food industry was doing and how the animals were treated.
Right.
So that kind of just changed everything for me. And I started my blog from there to document the journey and to share my recipes. And yeah, I went full time after like 2 years. I wasn't making that much, but you know, I was able to go full time, and it sort of just, I stuck with it. I was consistent with it, and yeah, it's really centered around the plant-based vegan lifestyle, and yeah, I just love it so much. You know, it's very near and dear to my heart, and it sort of changed my whole life. So yeah, that's kind of how I got started. But I was also looking for a way to heal my skin, because I struggled with so much acne and like cystic acne and just the worst skin ever in high school. And I was always searching for a way. I didn't really know that your diet and lifestyle could influence how your skin looked and your acne and your breakouts and your oily skin. And so once I went vegan, everything kind of changed, but it still wasn't perfect. And it wasn't until I started to balance my hormones and just eat even better than just vegan, you know, because you can be vegan and you can sleep like processed foods and stuff.
Oh, so yeah. Potato chip vegan.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Totally. So yeah, I took it to the next level and my skin got even better. So it's been a really long process, but yeah, the skin thing really got me.
Yeah. I've talked about that in some of my other podcasts. Like I in high school actually didn't even have bad acne. And then, but that was because, like I said, I've said this in another podcast, that my dermatologist just put me on a mild antibiotic for 4 years.
Oh, wow.
So I was just on an antibiotic. And then when I get to college, I was like, well, I shouldn't have acne anymore. Like, it shouldn't be a problem, so I can get off this antibiotic. And then my skin went crazy. And I also had, you know, like cystic acne, and I would go to the dermatologist and they'd try to put me on like spironolactone and like all kinds of, you know, nobody ever told me that diet made any difference, you know?
Totally. And the antibiotics really affect your gut microbiome, which could also be such a
100%
a reason for your acne too. Yeah.
And then I went on birth control, which, you know, we can get into that too, about like how bad that is for your hormones and, you know, obviously your gut, it messes up your gut too. So,
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. just like totally spiraling. So yeah, I kind of have a similar story too. I watched Cowspiracy. That was the documentary for me.
Right.
Yeah. And then, Yeah. And it's like mind blowing. I think I read on your website that you had also like been an animal lover your whole life and like kind of had like a weird relationship with meat, which I did too. It would like gross me out. but I would like pick through it.
I know. And like, it's such a weird feeling because that's all my mom would make. And it's just, I didn't know anything else.
No, so I never even knew a vegetarian. I don't think I grew up in a small town. And I don't even think if there was a vegetarian in my town at that time, like nobody told me, you know? So yeah, but yeah. And then taking it to the next level. Cause like, yeah, you can be a potato chip vegan and be like super unhealthy, just like anybody else. I mean, you can be unhealthy on any type of diet, but it's being like a whole food. I mean, I'd like to say that I'm a plant-based vegan cause I'm a vegan for the animals and then I'm plant-based for, you know, my health.
Right. Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
So you studied, like you began like studying about hormones or like when you were trying to fix it or what was your like next step?
Yeah. So, it was actually Lee from America. I don't know if you follow her on Instagram, she introduced me to Woman Code, which was written by Elisa Vitti, and she is my biggest idol now because she totally changed my life and she taught me how to track your cycle and let your hormones influence every single day of your life because they're fluctuating and they're not the same as a man's, which men have like a 24-hour hormonal cycle and women have a 28-day cycle. So she taught me about balancing hormones, what to eat, and all that, but she didn't have the plant-based vegan version. Like her recommendations all included animal foods. So that's kind of where it started for me. And I was trying to find, okay, how can I balance my hormones and be vegan and make sure I'm getting all of my nutrients that I need to support my fluctuating hormones and to help with acne and PMS and bloating and insomnia and everything. So yeah, Lee from America, she introduced me to Woman Code. And then from there, I learned about Dr. Jolene Brighton and a bunch of naturopaths and dietitians. And it sort of spiraled. And then I created my own hormone healing guide, which then led to my book, which is coming out in September, called The Happy Hormone Guide. And it's really about balancing hormones on a vegan plant-based diet with supplements and just, you know, how to go about it. Cause it's a process. So that's kind of how I got started with all the hormone stuff.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, your book, congrats. That is so exciting.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm excited for it to be out. I don't even have one yet. So,
oh my
gosh. I just need to hold it.
Like, no, I know. You just want to hold it physically.
Yeah.
The hormone stuff, I don't know. I mean, maybe we can go over some of that because I like microbiome was kind of my thing, you know, because I had an autoimmune disease that manifested in the GI tract. And that was kind of like how I got to this place. But obviously like the hormones are connected to the gut as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything's connected. I mean, the gut is connected to everything, obviously. So, but yeah, the different phases, this is like kind of something that I'm trying to learn more about because I know nothing about it. But yeah, there are like four different phases, right?
Yes. Yes. There are four different phases in your 28-day to 35-day cycle. That's kind of like the average days. So it starts with the menstrual cycle. So day one of your period is like the heaviest day of bleeding. This is just when you're shedding your endometrium if you don't get pregnant. And this is kind of when your hormones are at the lowest. So you may feel a little extra tired, just, you know, not as energetic, and you want to be replenishing your iron and your zinc and all of your minerals because this is what your body is eliminating the most, you know, in your blood. So you really want to eat like iron-rich foods and seaweeds, things that are high in iodine and sea salt. So like miso soups and stir fries with tamari and mushrooms that are really high in protein. Warming foods to keep your uterus warm and replenished, because you're doing so much internal work and bleeding a lot. And then from there you go into the follicular phase. This is when your follicles are growing and maturing, and hopefully one will ovulate in the ovulation phase. But this is when I like to think of it as like my creative phase, sort of like spring in the body. So the menstrual phase is winter and the follicular phase is spring. And it's, I like to consider it like new beginnings, a fresh start after the bleeding phase. So you want to set up your microbiome in this phase and eat lots of probiotic rich foods like coconut yogurt and coconut kefir and fermented foods. And then a lot of fresh, like lighter foods, so romaines and bell peppers and broccoli and quinoa, and not as much of the heavier, more dense foods. And this will really help, and avocados, because they're like a proven fertility foods to nourish your growing follicles. So I love it. I love starting new projects in this phase and just planning out the rest of my month and really setting it up, because this is when you feel most creative and you have like the most brain power. And then you move into ovulation, which really only lasts for 24 hours, but you never know like exactly when you're going to ovulate. You can use the ovulation, the test strips, you can track your temperature, but you really only know like with tracking your temperature after you ovulate. So it gets a little confusing, but you can also tell with like cervical mucus, and maybe you'll feel like the little ovulation twinges in your right or left side of your abdomen. That's a great way to tell.
I never knew what that was.
Exactly. But this is kind of when you feel like the most energetic, and your skin is glowing because of all the estrogen, and you feel like you're having a good hair day maybe, and your skin is, is looking pretty good. And this is when you can focus on like the all the raw foods, so lots of raw green juices and fruits and veggies. And then that's like the shortest phase. And then you'll move into the luteal phase, which is when the progesterone kicks in. And this is also when like PMS can happen. So you'll want to focus on grounding foods with lots of B vitamins to stabilize your blood sugar, just to prevent mood swings. So like sweet potatoes, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower. I love to roast all these together, and lots of like kale and greens. And progesterone is the calming hormone, and it only happens if you ovulate. So that's how you can come into a lot of problems if you're not ovulating with PMS and all that. So we need all the progesterone we can get.
Sure. So like if somebody is kind of thinking that they're imbalanced, like what is the best way to find out? Like a blood test or?
There's the gold standard is like the Dutch test, because it tests all the free active hormones. And it can be a little pricey, but the best way is either the blood and saliva or the Dutch test. And
so does a normal doctor do that, or you have to go to like an alternative person?
Yeah,
to that?
I know. It's really it's hard annoying. Testing with the gynecologist. They just don't. They don't want to test all of your hormones for some reason. I know.
I don't understand that.
I know. Well, they want to prescribe the pill, and they don't really know about alternative methods to help you, which is, you know, unfortunate, but it's just the reality. So the Dutch test you can order online. I also really like the test from Everly Well. It's the women's health test, and it's a blood test and a serum saliva test.
So those, they just like send you a kit or something?
Yeah, you could do it at home. Yeah. And cool. And then you get your results. And you can bring those to a naturopath if you find that your hormones are really out of balance. You can bring it to a naturopath.
Yeah. I actually recently, so I had not been to the girl doctor, as I call it, in like years. And my chiropractor actually recommended this lady who she didn't say anything. She was just like, you should go to this lady named Jean Blake. And I was like, whatever. And then I like Googled her, and she is like, she's a normal doctor, but has studied like Ayurveda and functional medicine and all this stuff. And I was just like, what? I cannot believe. And she was in my network. And I was like, this is insane. Oh, wow. So I know. So I went to her a month ago or something like that. And I had a blood test done that was more extensive. Like I had to go to like this wellness place that's not like, is not a doctor facility, it's not a medical place. But they had a normal person, a medical person taking my blood. But anyways, but it's way more extensive than like a normal. So, I mean, I would suggest people like trying to find like maybe, I feel like these things are going to become maybe more prevalent, that you can find doctors who are more.
Right. We hope so. It's hard to find, and you really might have to visit like 4 or 5 or even 6 to find the right one.
Doesn't prescribe birth control. Because that's what I was afraid of, because I feel like my hormones are slightly out of balance. When my test came back, it was like there were 2 things that were in one phase and then 2 that were in a different phase. I mean, everything should be all in the same phase, right, at the same time.
Well, they have different ratios. So like in the follicular and the ovulatory phase, estrogen is like the dominant one, and that's like the shining star. And then in the luteal phase, progesterone is the shining star. And in the menstrual phase, all of them are pretty low. So you really have to test at like the right times too. And that's why the Everly Well test will test throughout the whole month. And same with the Dutch test, which is the urine, which is a whole other way of testing, but.
Yeah, maybe I should look into one of those. I don't know. I'm meeting her on Friday, so we'll see what she says.
Yeah.
But I was so thankful that she was not. She said, she was like, 10 years ago, I would have prescribed birth control because I was in that paradigm, like she was still under that. But then I don't know how she, started learning that or decided to learn all
that. That's
the
so cool,
stuff,
though. That makes me really happy that she's like a gynecologist and specializes in the Ayurveda.
Isn't that crazy?
And, yeah, wow.
Yeah. Like we were talking about like food and like all these kind of things. So, I mean, on Friday, I guess we'll go into it more like what she, recommends I take more of. I definitely have been trying to focus more on seaweed because the iodine, I feel like I'm not getting enough of that. So I've been making like seaweed salads and I bought some Irish sea moss. Do you know about that?
Yes, I do.
I just learned about this and I did like a post on it. I did a story on it and everybody was like, what is that?
Yeah, it has like all of the minerals that you need, right?
Yeah.
So cool.
It's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a newer, I guess, going like more mainstream seaweed, but I'm super excited because you can't find if you Google Irish sea moss, there's really not that much information as opposed to like if you Google kelp or nori or, I don't know.
Right. And those are so essential for your thyroid hormone production and immunity and stuff.
Like how often do you think somebody should eat seaweed? Like once or twice a week or?
Especially like more so in the menstrual phase, but definitely once or twice a week just to keep it up. And I like to supplement with the iodine drops too. And then you really want to focus on having some selenium with that so your thyroid isn't overstimulated. So like Brazil nuts or some kind of supplement with selenium.
I love Brazil nuts. I try to eat like 2 a day. It's really random. Yeah. But I read you weren't supposed to get like too many of them. Eat too much. I don't know.
Yeah, no, two or 3 a day is probably best.
So what do you think are like the top things that are detrimental to our hormones?
Well, yeah, we can go through like the steps to balance your hormones if you want.
I mean, it's up to you. I mean, you could just give like the top things. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, if you want to go through it, that's awesome.
Yeah, because in my book, I share about the happy hormone method, which right. I kind of created. And like the first step, which is the most detrimental, the most important hurdle, is to balance your blood sugar. And you really have to get it right, because if your nervous system is not always in the parasympathetic, and it's in right. the sympathetic, which is like the fight or flight, then your body will never have a chance to heal your hormones and to balance them. So with that, you really want to avoid like all the processed inflammatory foods and stick with the low glycemic foods like veggies, all the leafy greens, legumes, nuts and seeds, and the low sugar fruits, and avoid, you know, refined sugar, alcohol, gluten, wheat, dairy, processed vegetable oils, artificial sweeteners. Like, these are really detrimental to your blood sugar, and you want it to be as stable as possible if you're ever going to balance your hormones, because it is the ultimate first step. And with that comes like balanced meals. So a healthy fat, a protein, and a fiber at every single meal, whether that the fiber is like a starchy vegetable like squash or something. But having balanced meals will help keep your blood sugar stable. And then exercising like 4 to 5 times a week helps to balance your blood sugar too. And then managing cortisol and stress. So blood sugar and cortisol, they're kind of tied together, because in times of stress, when your cortisol is high, that's when you want to reach for, you know, the sugary, like feel-good foods, which are
for sure
so detrimental
to your hormones. Coconut ice cream.
I know. I mean, once in a while, yeah, but like you really want to be careful. So managing your cortisol and stress is so important for balanced hormones. So whatever ways you like to relieve stress, meditation, going on a walk, deep breathing, reading, whatever it takes, it's definitely an essential step. And then after that, I like to focus, or tell people to focus on removing the endocrine disruptors and the chemicals from their home and from their beauty products. And it really takes like a conscious effort to look at everything that you're using in your home, you know, everything you use in the shower and then after the shower and then for cleaning. It's really important that we're
like overloaded on toxins like all
really,
the time.
I know, we really are. And so if you can clean up your home and create a non-toxic home, that's really going to help, because these endocrine disruptors and chemicals mimic different hormones in the body. So they tell your body to create more, and that's what really leads to hormone imbalance and estrogen dominance and PCOS and endometriosis. And even like unexplained headaches and fatigue, you know. And then,
and like, what do you think about like plastic, like drinking out of plastic? That also is a
totally.
With mimics estrogen or whatever, right?
Totally. And and eating organic too, eliminating the pesticides and the herbicides, and washing your produce before eating it, that's gonna help. And then I also like to tell people to consider getting a carbon water filter for their drinking water to help eliminate the heavy metals that are in almost all of our drinking water, no matter what, how clean we think it is. It's pretty important to consider your drinking water.
Right. Totally.
And then supporting your digestion and elimination is crucial for your hormone health too, because that's how we eliminate, like supporting our elimination pathways, which is our poop, our urine, our sweat. This is how we eliminate the excess and used up hormones so they don't get recirculated in the body. So you have to be going to the bathroom, going poop every single day, multiple times a day if you can. But constipation is like, you know, one of the
Reasons it's awful.
For hormone, hormone imbalance.
I read this thing recently that was talking about that when you're constipated or you're not going poop every day, it to think of it like wearing a dirty diaper. Like it's just like stuck on you, like in you, you know? Like
Totally. Just recirculating and just reabsorbing and the toxins and Yeah. It's just sitting in there. It's not good. So
no.
All the more fiber, the better, you know, hydration,
right.
Digestive enzymes and probiotics. These really help. And drinking, I don't know if you've seen any of my green drinks on Instagram, but I have like a green drink every single day just to get in a lot of leafy greens and fiber. So it has like either kale or spinach, and then it has cucumber and celery. And I sort of go with the phases of my cycle, but that's kind of the base. And then like flaxseed and frozen mango.
Oh,
and ginger. And
so lemon. Is that a juice or a smoothie?
No, I like to keep all the fiber in for my gut health.
A smoothie then. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But so is that
no
the first
protein.
Is that like no, yeah. Yeah.
No
I think
protein.
Oh gosh, people always adding protein to their smoothies and I'm just like, ah.
I know, like they're overdoing it and it tastes so much better without it too.
I know. Doesn't it have such a weird taste? And it's so processed. I mean, you're talking about like taking out processed things. Well, protein powders are processed, like super processed.
Totally. Yeah.
So you drink that in the morning normally as like your first thing or just like.
Yeah. So I'll have like a lemon water and I add my mineral drops to that just to make sure I'm getting all my minerals. And then when I feel hungry, I'll have a green drink and then I'll have like maybe a piece of avocado toast or like an energy ball or something. But this green drink really fills me up and gives me so much fiber.
So much energy
as
well. You know, whenever I have a smoothie in the morning, I'm just like, woo, let's go. It's like a surge of like vitamins and minerals. And then it also just makes you feel healthy. You're like, I'm drinking something green. I'm healthy.
Yeah. And then it kind of sets up the rest of your day too. Like you want to be healthy.
Totally.
With the rest of your food.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So cool.
Yeah. And then from there, you can like sync up your food and your workouts to each phase of your cycle. So I don't know if I can share, like I have a PDF that people can print out for with the foods for each phase of their cycle. And it's on my blog if anyone's interested. So it has, the best foods that will support your fluctuating hormones and replenish all the vitamins and minerals that you need for each of the four phases. So you can eat for your cycle, and then you can do the workouts to support each phase too.
Yeah. I mean, who knew it was so complicated? Well, now we do. You know, this makes me think about, I mean, this is not really off subject, but you know, you often see like women have, I feel like, more difficulty with weight. And, you know, you'll see like a couple and the dude is like really tall and skinny. And then the woman has, you know, gained weight and they're eating the exact same things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it makes sense that our hormones are so, you know, sensitive. So like if they're eating the same things, which are dairy and meat and processed things, then it's going to affect her so much differently and she's going to gain weight. But then the man is just going to be the same size, you know, and it's not going to change him as dramatically.
I know. It's so true. It's very frustrating for women.
Yeah.
But if you support your cycle now, it's really going to help later on in menopause and.
Right.
You know, it seems really complicated. Yeah.
Yeah. So then your symptoms of menopause are not, because I feel like that's not natural either. Just like, you know, having a painful or terrible menstrual cycle is, we have become, you know, just accustomed to it, that that's just like normal, but that's not normal. Right.
Right. It's not normal. It's definitely your body trying to speak to you and be like, this is a symptom. I'm trying to tell you something. Can you help me fix it? It's way of communicating with you. And most people just overlook it and think it's normal when
it's normal.
It's really not. It's something going on.
And then they just pop a bunch of, you know,
Midol.
Advil or Midol. Yeah, I used to take Midol.
Me too.
Yeah. It was like candy. Oh my gosh. It worked though, I will say.
I know. Well, I think it has a little caffeine in there, so that helps.
Oh yeah.
With the diuretic, yeah.
Right. I remember it saying that on the front.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh gosh, I'm so excited! I'm gonna go print out your that thing, your PDF, like right when you get off.
Yeah, it's theglowingfridge.com/happyhormonefoods if you just want to type it in. So it's easy to find, yeah.
So on another, I was like exploring your website and I saw something about parasites.
Mm-hmm.
What in the heck?
Oh my gosh, they're haunting me. I know. It's like,
no!
It's so bad. So I started in February. I decided I really need to like focus on my gut health because I would sit in bed at night and my stomach would be so distended. And I'm like, what is going on? I'm eating so healthy. What is this? Yeah. This isn't normal. Like, I don't get it. So I started incorporating these green drinks. And after, I think it was in early April, I went to the bathroom, I went poop, I saw like this white worm. Okay, I know.
What?
I did.
Was it alive?
No, it was okay, definitely dead. I freaked out. I screamed. I'm like, oh my God. And you just feel this overcome with like this feeling of, I am so disgusting. Like, what is this?
Oh,
what is living inside me?
It's like an alien movie.
Oh,
you
my
know?
God. So I started doing research. I'm like, I have parasites. Like, what do I do? And I came across this herb called Mimosa pudica. I'm like, oh, awesome. It's mimosa. No, it's an herb. It's like a it's a supplement. And you have to be so consistent with it. But, okay, so I started taking it late April. It's now nearing the end of July and I'm still seeing them.
What?
Yeah. It's like maybe one of the most unheard of things happening in people's bodies, and everyone has them. Like, this is what I'm learning. Everybody has them.
I'm scared.
I know. If you've ever eaten sushi, like in my past, if you've ever traveled and accidentally drank the water in Mexico or wherever, if you know, it's especially in like undercooked meat. So if you ever used to eat meat that was undercooked, like steak, and then if you have a pet, like if they're licking your face and stuff, that's how you can transmit them. And they can sit in your stomach without, and you will have no symptoms for years and years. So I'm like, how long have these been in there? And so once they're dying off and once you're killing them off, they release all these toxins and heavy metals and you just feel like total crap.
But it's like going through withdrawal, like when you're,
but it's so worth it to like get them out of your system because they're eating all of your nutrients. And especially if you're vegan, like you really need all the nutrients you can to absorb. So it's been eye-opening, and you know, I'm definitely going to write a post on it, but I've been sharing my journey on Instagram, and the amount of people that message me, like, I think I have them too. I have all the symptoms that you're talking about. And it's one of the most unheard of. I don't even know what to
call it. But like everybody, so many of us have, like I could have them right now.
Yeah.
So are they in your stomach or your intestines, or it could be anywhere in your GI?
Yeah. So it could be anywhere. It could be in your blood. They could be in your lymph fluid. But most of them like to be in the intestines because that's where all the food is, you know?
Oh my gosh, I'm so freaked out right now.
No, I am freaked out too. Like every time I see them, every time I go, there's at least two, and they're like,
what?
Some of them are 24 inches long. I'm not joking. It's really hard for me to share this.
No. Shut the front door.
It's embarrassing, but I really want people to know that maybe these are the reasons they're feeling so crappy and have so much fatigue and like mood instability and anger. I mean, it's insane. Yeah.
So I know, have you ever heard of coffee enemas? I'm not going to do one. You have done them. Well, maybe I should do them.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
So my friend who lives out in California, a girl that she knows started doing them. And I guess she had that girl had traveled a bunch, and I don't know how her and her boyfriend started doing them, like, which is sounds crazy, but they were both doing them together. Kind of, I don't know, at the same time, obviously. But, and she like had tons of little white whatever mm-hmm. little yeah.
worms. Yeah.
And so then my friend started doing them, and I don't know if she actually had any, I don't know if she had any worms, but I know it like helped whatever, like it made her feel better. So now she does them, her and her boyfriend also do them regularly. And at first I was like, oh, this is disturbing. Like I could not do that, but maybe I should.
Well, it's definitely worth a try. I mean, there's so many. Some of them look like rolled up tomato peels, and those are called liver flukes. Some of them are like worms. Some of them look like pieces of pink corn. It's very odd. Some of them have like squiggly legs. I mean, it's like monsters are living inside of you. It's horrifying. So it's worth it to do like a parasite cleanse every 6 months. That's what I'm doing from now on.
Parasite cleanse. Okay.
Yeah.
Because if you don't get rid of them, then they're just going to reproduce and you end up getting more, and then you're going to have more problems. Is that how probably would work?
Totally. Yeah. They grow, they reproduce, those keep growing, and then it can become a real problem. Yeah. So the coffee enemas help. I also like to do lemon enemas, and then I like colonics too, like every once in a while to get a real good like clean out. Because I think the enemas are more for like a liver flush, which is also essential because you want your liver to be as healthy as can be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But a colonic would, just like one colonic would do it, do you think? Or not? You would have to do more?
One is good. Definitely maybe like once every 6 months or maybe twice a year, I think mm-hmm. is a good idea to do a good cleaning. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Cause I had whenever I was really sick, so 2016 was like the worst year for me. And I went to England to do alternative treatments, which I had FMTs done. So the fecal microbial transplant done.
Okay.
Yeah. And the first day that I was there, we did a colonic, and then like the next 3 days or however long I was there, I did like an FMT like every day. Actually, I think I did it even longer. It was like 6 days or something. So maybe that got rid of them, but I guess I could have gotten them in the past 3 years.
Yeah, I don't know. That's something really cool to think about, because I know that's becoming more popular to do that. So that's really cool, but I don't know if that would eliminate the parasites. I think you need to do extra. Yeah.
Oh, well,
I know.
I have new things to
It's a lot to think about.
So you would just like Google parasite cleanse?
Well, I decided on the Mimosa Pudica, and you have to take it twice a day.
Pudica.
Yeah, from microbe formulas, and you have to take it on an empty stomach. I like to take it with a digestive enzyme to really get it working, but it has to be on an empty stomach, so like first thing in the morning and then right before bed. And you have to be consistent, because what it does is the parasites want to eat everything that comes into your body. So if it's mm-hmm. the first thing that they eat in the morning, it suffocates them. And they also come out whole, so they don't come out in pieces. So it makes me feel better.
I want to do this, but I'm afraid.
I know.
I think I'm really afraid.
I know. Oh. It's horrifying, but it's so worth it. I feel so much better, and my stomach is the flattest it's ever been.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were you feeling fatigued before, you thought? Or it was just like kind of the...
Yeah. But I didn't even really know, like, until I was on the other side, until I'm here and I've eliminated probably hundreds, and I know, wow, I feel so much better now than I did. I didn't even know it at the time.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? I think that happens with any type of, like, you know, it's just like a slow progression, and then it just becomes your new norm, and you don't know what it feels like, you know, otherwise.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So... I'm glad I asked about that.
Yeah. And just drinking the green drinks, you know, lots of greens and vegetables, that's going to help your gut health, and the probiotics. That's going to help to kind of reformulate your gut flora and mm-hmm. replenish mm-hmm. all the good stuff so that it crowds out the bad. But it's like a all-encompassing kind of journey. You have to think about everything, you know.
Yeah, it's a lot to be healthy, but it's obviously totally worth it. I mean, rather than taking pills or down the road being, you know, sent to the hospital for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. So what's your favorite like go-to like healthy snack?
Healthy snack. So I love like energy balls.
Mm, you make your own?
I do. I do the seed cycling ones too. So I have a recipe. Yeah, I saw that. I have a recipe on my blog for those. I love like chia pudding.
Yes.
Chocolate chia pudding.
Yeah. Do you make your own? You mentioned coconut yogurt. Do you make your own coconut yogurt?
You know, I've tried and I get too nervous. I don't know if I do it right.
I know. I did the same thing. I haven't done it in years. I tried it like a couple years ago and I was like,
Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't know. So I just buy it.
What brand do you like?
Yeah, I love Kite Hill. I love Forager. So delicious. Mm-hmm. But always like the plain unsweetened one.
Oh, always. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. The other ones have way too many
sugars.
Sugars, yeah. Yeah. There was a brand when I was in England for that treatment. There was a brand called Koyo.
Yeah.
Which was, it's so mind blowing. Like, but we don't have it here in Charleston. I've like asked Whole Foods. I was like, we all get this yogurt. And they told me that they were trying to, but there's like some, I don't know if maybe like the other yogurts that, you know, veggie yogurts they have, like, I don't know, had some type of, you know, contract that said they couldn't have.
Yeah, I don't know. It either. I wish I could find it, but I can't find it here.
Yeah, they have it in New York a bunch because I've like been on their website. I'm like, where do they sell this stuff? And around New York, they have it a lot, but oh my gosh, that stuff is so freaking good.
Mm. Yeah, have you tried the Kite Hill, like the new dips? I think they have like a ranch dip and a French onion dip.
I haven't tried them, but my friend tried them and said they were amazing.
They are amazing, like with some carrots and celery, cucumber. Yeah, so good.
And that brand is so, I mean, like the ingredients in it are so clean. Mm-hmm. Like, I love them. Yeah. And then Miyoko's cheese. I love Miyoko's cheese.
Mm-hmm, me too. Same.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about your favorite like meal? I love asking people what their favorite meals are. Veggie meals.
Me too. So I guess it depends like on each phase of my cycle, but this past week, or I think it was Monday, I made the banza pasta, and then I sauteed some bell peppers and mushrooms and some veggie sausage. And then I did like some olive oil and lemon and just served it like that. And it was with spinach too. And it was like the best meal ever.
Oh my gosh. That sounds amazing.
And the veggie sausages, you have to choose the right ones because they can be really processed with a lot of like fake stuff. So I like the Light Life brand. I think it's
I haven't tried that one.
The plant-based sausages, and they have like pretty clean ingredients and no soy or anything.
Are those what did you say, Light Life?
Yeah, Light Life.
And those are gluten-free?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. My husband sometimes eats the tofurkey ones, which I don't eat those because they have gluten. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about the ingredients. I don't think they're that like – I mean, he doesn't eat them that often. He has them like once every 2 weeks, but still they're – I don't know. They might be okay. I haven't actually – I just know they have gluten. I don't think I've actually looked at – what else is in them?
Yeah, I know. We have to be kind of careful because they can have some sketchy ingredients. But I don't know. I love to cook.
I mean, every now and then, too. You know,
Like for a barbecue or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we eat the Beyond Burger. We take Beyond Burgers to like for 4th of July. We took the Beyond Burgers. And but I only eat those every once in a while. But they're still, apparently they're better than the Impossible Burger. Impossible Burger does have gluten. And then I don't know if you saw that they were tested for like so much glyphosate.
Oh, I did not see that.
Yeah. So they tested, I think they tested both of them. But I think the Beyond maybe is non-GMO and maybe that's why also. So it had much less glyphosate tested, but the Impossible Burger had a ton. So of course there was all this backlash because Impossible Burger is doing really well, I think. And people are trying to find some reason why to attack it too, you know? So they're like, you shouldn't eat the Impossible Burger. Look at how that glyphosate, which I'm like, well, I'd still rather eat that than decaying flesh. So
I know, totally.
Oh gosh, I was about to say something else. Oh, what do you think about tofu? What is your take on tofu?
I like tofu. I really only like to eat it in the menstrual and the follicular phase because of all the, I don't know, the information out there about soy, and maybe it's not the best.
Mixed too, right? I know. I'm confused by it. That's why I asked, because I'm like, I don't know what to feel. I mean, I don't eat it all the time, but
yeah,
it's confusing.
Yeah. It can be. So in the luteal phase, when you do not want estrogen to be dominant, that's when I try to avoid it. But I still love tofu. I mean, it's very easy and it takes on flavors. And as long as it's organic, I don't worry about it too much. So maybe we'll have it like a couple times a month, but not, you know, daily.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. We usually have it just like a couple times, and I always do organic. And if I eat it out, I'm like, I only eat it if I know it's from a place that does organic.
Yeah.
Which I hate being that person who's like, is your tofu organic? But but I do.
Yeah, to do
I have
it.
No shame anymore.
Yeah, I know. We really like tempeh and like chickpeas.
Yes.
And yeah.
Same, yeah. I love tempeh. My husband, I had actually never even heard of tempeh until I met my husband. Well, he was my boyfriend obviously then. But I was like, what the heck is tempeh? He introduced me to tempeh and quinoa. I'd never heard of quinoa either.
Oh, so is he also plant-based vegan or?
He is now, yeah. So his story is like he, before we met, he had actually done his yoga teacher training, which they really encourage people to try vegetarianism, to be vegetarian during your, you know, and obviously they hope that you'll do it longer. And so he was like, well, if I'm going to do this teacher training, like, I'm going to go all in, you know, and do it the right way. So he tried, this is, you know, years ago. He tried vegetarianism and it was just for 3 months, but then he felt so good. He just kept doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. And then so he was a vegetarian for 2 years. But then just kind of society, you know, kind of pressured him back into, I think he was just having a hard time being social and, you know,
yeah.
Not eating meat, sadly. And then we met and, you know, we both were not, he was not a vegetarian then. And I wasn't, although I didn't eat, you know, I've never been a huge meat eater. Like I ate fish and turkey and stuff like that. But yeah. And then when I became a vegan, it was just kind of like, he just slowly stopped eating it. You know, he was kind of learning what I was learning about the animals and the food, like what meat does to our bodies, and mm-hmm. we weren't having it at home. And then he slowly just like stopped ordering it. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it's been really nice.
Yeah, that
makes
is
it
nice.
Easier for me. Does your boyfriend? Does he prescribe to this way of life?
Yeah. So I do all the cooking, and he's sort of learned to love it, and now he feels really good. And sometimes he's basically vegan except when we go out to eat, and he likes to order fish. And you know, I'm not gonna like put pressure on him, but he really does enjoy it now, and it's taken him about 3 years to really get into it, and he's learning about, you know, all of it, and he loves it now,
Well, I'll say, so my husband he will eat shrimp and oysters. Mm-hmm. So I try to say that because I'm like, I don't want people to see us out at a restaurant and he's eating shrimp and they're like, he's not a vegan.
Oh God, I know.
But at home, yeah, it's like that. I mean, but any type of land animal, he would never.
Yeah,
I'd never eat at this point, but seafood. He's more like I guess a pescatarian, but it's not like he eats it every day. So
yeah,
but it definitely makes it a lot easier. And people often are like, "Oh, did you like force him to be like that?" And I'm like, "He just did it on his own. I did not. I went my way. You know, I was going down this road, and if he wanted to come along, you know, obviously, you know, like you, I'm the one who's I love to cook now. I used to hate to cook. I love it now. So." Mm-hmm. you're going to eat my food, then yeah. This is what you're getting.
Lead by example, right?
Exactly. Yeah, totally. So I guess we'll wrap it up. So you have your book coming out and people can pre-order it or?
Yep, you can pre-order it on Amazon. I think it's the cheapest on Amazon right now. It's like almost half off. So I would get it now while we don't know how long the deal will last. So definitely get it while you can. But you can also order from any major bookstore like Barnes & Noble or the indie bookstores. Yeah. But Amazon so is the easiest.
When will it officially come out?
Yeah, September 10th.
Yay! Yeah. That's awesome. And then, well, we were talking, I meant to ask you, you're getting married, yeah?
Yes, I'm getting married in Mexico in December. Ooh. Yeah.
Awesome. Congrats.
Thank you.
Is everything all planned?
It is pretty much planned because the resort comes with a built-in wedding planner, so I don't have to do much. We just have to wait to see how many people will actually come, you know, because the destination is hard, but.
Oh, destination is the best. Yeah. Yeah. And then your planning is like so much easier.
Yeah, I know. I'm happy. I didn't have to do much planning at all. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. So if people want to connect with you, they can find you on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the Glowing Fridge.
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And your website is theglowingfridge.com.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. Okie doke. Well, thanks so much for coming on. This has really been a treat.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was fun to chat with you.
Awesome. Okay, until next time, peace and plants.
Bye.
Wow. I feel like I learned a ton of stuff from that interview. I hope y'all did as well. I am actually looking at her PDF right now that I downloaded. So if you go to her website and sign up for her newsletter, she will email you a PDF with the different cycles and the different foods to eat to nourish each particular cycle. So it's really awesome. I am super excited to try to kind of like focus in and hone in on this and see what happens, you know? It's kind of funny how I feel like in my past, I've heard dudes say, you know, about friends or girls or me, I don't know, just in general, how complex and complicated girls were. And yeah, we are like literally, physically, biologically, we are super complicated. There's a lot of stuff going on, you know, and there's a lot. And then that means there's a lot that can become imbalanced and get messed up. So I think it's really great to, you know, have these kind of tools and these people out there sharing what they've learned and, you know, trying to help others. So it's pretty awesome. I will definitely try to get her back on. Maybe after her book comes out, we could chat about our book because I definitely want to order one. So yeah, if you are enjoying my podcast, please subscribe. You can also leave reviews. That will help with SEO, like I've said before. You know, other people who are searching for this type of information, holistic health, healing, all those things, they will be able to find it easier. So, as always, I super appreciate y'all. And until next time, peace and plants.